The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, actually David said these, 29, verse 11 and 13, these words, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are touched by the words of King David. In thee we acknowledge that there is no greatness except the greatness that exists in thee. Father, there is nothing more wonderful and magnificent than God himself. And so, Father, this morning we exalt thy name, we praise thy name, and we come together to worship this God of creation, this God who is in his majesty, rules the universe and rules our life, this God that in mercy rescue his people. Oh, Father, we are grateful. We are grateful for your power. We are grateful for your mercy. We are grateful for your word who tell us thy will. So bless us as we fellowship and worship. Bless those who are listening over the air in KKMC. Bless those who later on will receive a tape and listen to this service again and again and again. And Father, together with the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church here in this place, we have missionaries in different parts of the world. In Ukraine, our brother Lewis. In Spain, our brother Knott, our brother Perez. In Managua, Nicaragua, our brother Juan Erges Mendoza. Lord, here locally, we have our missionary in Lodi, our brother Sachert, and then in Morgan Hill, our crisis center, where people who are broken could come and receive not only instruction, but help for their life. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us to be a part of the life of so many people. We are grateful, Lord, for the letters that comes and the phone calls that comes, praising your name because of what we have to say about you. Thank you, Father. And so then we pray, Lord, for those who have come and perhaps they're injured spiritually or emotionally. We pray that thy word be the healing remedy for their life. We pray that as we praise your name, Father, our spirit be lifted up, and once for all we may recognize that in God we have hope. Bless us as we fellowship. Bless us as we share the word. And Lord, we don't want to close without asking you to bless this country from the head down, from the president down. Protect him. Protect his wife, his child. Lord, give him a heart which is sensitive to thy spirit. Overrule his life in mercy, that he may turn around and see the greatness of God. Be with each one of those who are sick, Lord, and suffer and suffering in their bodies. May the medicine that you created be good to them. And for us, Lord, we pray that with sweetness and with love, we may share thy beauty. In Jesus we pray and thank you. Amen. Will you turn the hymn books to number 32, please? Number 32 in your hymn books. And will you stand as we sing together to the name of God? Blessed be the name of God. Number 32 in our hymn book, please.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
Thank you, Father. We endorse this song with all our heart. Blessed be the name of our Lord. Now, as we are ready to give, we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giver in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, please. My dear friends, this is Pastor Otero, and I'm speaking to you at this very moment as the offertory is played in our church auditorium. I want to communicate with you the blessing of our day yesterday. We have a remarkable, wonderful Father's celebration, Father's Day celebration. And indeed, we rejoice in the fact that Pastor Van Dyken brought the Word of God to us in a manner in which was pleasing to God, and we thank God for that. Now, we are willing to serve you, and because we want to serve you, here is our phone number, 778-2595. You call in for any need you have, and we will see if we can arrange to help you. If you need a visit from the pastor, or if you need consultation, whatever you need, we are here to serve you in this beautiful community in which we live. So now, let's go to the auditorium and join the service in progress.
Remains the cornerstone. Jesus. Thank you, choir. We ask you now that you take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you will find in that Bible on page 49 the reading for today. We ask that you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. Exodus chapter 8, verses 1 through 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frog shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Entreat the Lord, that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me, when shall I entreat for thee, and for thy servants, and for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none likened unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people, they shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart, and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty Father, glory unto thy holy name, for thou art God alone. And in thy mercy and grace, O Lord God, through the sacrifice of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we have been saved. Almighty God, as we see a picture again of Pharaoh, the hardened heart of Pharaoh, O Lord God, we pray for those today that hold a hardened heart like Pharaoh, that we ask in thy mercy and grace that you will give them a new heart and a new nature in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, proclaims the gospel unto the people, O Lord God, let it enter into those hearts, breaking the spirit and letting them crying out for forgiveness of their sins, that they may be washed in the blood of Christ. This we ask in his name. Amen.
Amen.
String with echoes of laughter, they've come and gone. For the memory of a tiny face and playful grin still brings a smile, reminding us again. Children are a treasure from the Lord. Songs sweetly sung by the cradle, prayers whispered just before bed. don't forget their whole life long. Children are a treasure from the Lord. Those bright and trusting eyes seem to take us by surprise, and they see what others older seem to miss. May the gift of faith they hold grow as they grow old. May they always know God will never let them go. With diligence teach your children the words and the love of the Lord. Talk of them every moment in thy household, and bind them as a sign on your hand. Write them at the doorpost of your home. Those bright and trusting eyes seem to take us by surprise, and they see what others older seem to miss. May the gift of faith they hold grow as they grow old. May they always know God will never let them go. Homes ring with echoes of laughter long after they've come and gone. And just knowing that our children really love the Lord is a faithful servant's passion and reward. Children are a treasure from the Lord. Children are a treasure from the Lord. Children are a treasure from the Lord.
Yesterday we did have a wonderful Father's Day celebration. And publicly, I want to thank Pastor Van Dyken, Jack Van Dyken, for coming to this place from Modesto and bringing the Word of God. And many of you have enjoyed this pastor, 80 years old man, an old fella, but a former pilot from the Army. And that's what he said. I thought it was the Air Force, but he said the Army. Not only that, he brought the Word of God to the children here, and he brought the Word of God to the men. About 60 people were here, and we really enjoy the celebration. So happy Father's Day to you this morning, and to those who are listening too, and those who are listening over the tape ministry. May God bless you, and may you assume the responsibilities as a father that God has established in the Word of God, who are very serious, and will give you a lifetime work if you follow. Let's look to the Lord in prayer for the study this morning. Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we pray that the Holy Spirit, who is the author, the interpreter, and the teacher of the Scripture, may again illuminate our minds and heart and show thy will. This we ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn your Bible to Exodus chapter 8. There in Exodus chapter 8, we have another lesson about God. And this is the second plague that Pharaoh is going to receive from God. Now, historically, we know that the Egyptians have rejected God and turned to the evil ways of this sinful world in which we live. They turned to idolatry and to the brutalizing and enslaving of people. They were a powerful nation like America is today. Because of their evil, after 400 years of evil, God's judgment has begun to fall upon the nation in a series of plagues that God's going to bring to them. The first plague has just launched, and God showed them that God is God about their God of the Nile River. And you remember last Sunday when God said to Moses, I know where Pharaoh hangs out. You meet him over there and you challenge them. Pharaoh went early in the morning to worship the God of Ptah, the God of the Nile River. And God turned the water into blood to show the only God is God. Now God is ready to show them that there is no God equal to God, our Jehovah. If you look in your Bible in Exodus chapter 8, and if you follow the reading of our brother, you will notice that after he cannot get rid of the frogs that were there, he asked Moses for prayer. Look at verse 9. Exodus chapter 8, verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me when I shall entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. See, in verse 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat, pray to the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me. We're going to see the details in a minute. But I want you to see one thing. When the unbelievers are in trouble, they usually call for the pastor of the church to pray for an ulcer or for a cancer or for something that goes into. And I want that trouble to get out of my body right away. Now, Moses, in verse 10, he gave the answer. He said, it's not going to happen today when you want it. It's going to happen tomorrow. Look at verse 10. And he said, tomorrow. And he said, be it according to thy word. The unbeliever, Pharaoh, had to surrender to the will of God. See, Pharaoh said, get rid of these frogs now. And Moses looked at him and he said, no, today. It's going to be tomorrow. You know, what a lesson in prayer. We pray and we say, Lord, remove these. And God in heaven says, yes, I will, but not today. It's going to be later on when I want it. So here's what I want to show you that happened there. It's a great lesson for all of us. God is going to come to Pharaoh and is going to come head on again. And they're going to show Pharaoh that there is only one God. Look at again in verse 10. Tomorrow, and he said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know, that there is none like unto the Lord our God. That's my topic. There is none. There is no one. God has no equal. The God of the Bible has no equal. Nobody even get closer to be like the God of the Bible. And what a great lesson for all of us who sometimes think if we can control our life and do what we want with our life and move on in life and use our time in the way we want it and say the thing we want it. What a great lesson is going to be for all of us. In verse 1, Pharaoh let the people know his will. In verse 2, he let the people know the cause why he's going to judge them. You know, God never do something against you, never put the brakes on you without telling you why. I'm thankful for God's mercy. He doesn't have to, but I'm thankful for God's mercy. And then number 3, he brings the judgment. God said, this is going to happen. And then he's patiently waiting. Nobody listening. Happen. Then he watched. Now, what do you do after those things happen to you? Have you ever been in troubles, difficulties, situations where you really don't know what to do? Well, that's the moment that God is watching from the top. And then he showed them how to be delivered from the judgment. Now let's look on it, verse by verse, so that you see this remarkable action from God. God has no equal. Listen to verse 1. God let the people know his will. God come unto Moses, and he said this, go unto Pharaoh, that is Exodus 8, verse 1, and say unto him, thus said the Lord. Now I like that. Pastor Van Dyken yesterday emphasized the issue that when we talk to somebody, we do not tell people, now this is what the Catholic Church says, or this is what the Baptist says, or this is what the Word of God says. And he was talking to all these keys over here in the front. It was fantastic. And I think that's a great point. Over and over you see in the scripture, preacher Moses, come here. He was a preacher. He was also the Supreme Court Justice. But he said, come in, preacher. He said, now you go over there and said, thus said the Lord. No, thus said Moses. Let my people go. I want freedom from the brutality of Egypt. I want freedom to worship the Lord. Let my people go that they may serve me. Now that's God's will. God is speaking, and he said, this is God's will. It's written right here. You see with your own eyes. Well, God's will is also written for today. If you put one hand in Exodus and you move your Bible to John Gospel, to chapter 20, and then verse 30 and 31 in the Gospel of John, you will find God's will for you and I today. We are no left here in this universe to what this pastor will say, or that will be, you will be very poor. We are here under God's will. And look at God's will, John chapter 20 and verse 30. John writes, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in these books, signs, miracles that Jesus did. But these are written, he said. Those miracles, there are seven miracles, big miracles in the book of John. These are written, he said, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see why we have the Bible? We have the Bible so that you look into what God has done, and that should lead you to a humble spirit before God. Not to a rebellious spirit. Not to a spirit who said, I don't care what the Bible said. I do what I want to do. No, sir. You have God's will right here written in the Bible. And God's will is written in the Bible in such a way that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died for you on the cross of Calvary. You cannot be justified before God by your own good works. You cannot be justified before God by a vision or an image. You cannot be justified before God by anything else except by God himself. And so the Bible said, here is God's will. It's through Christ Jesus that you're only going to see heaven. That's written. This is God's will. Secondly, going back to Exodus, please. God let the people know why he's going to judge them again. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 2. Look at what God said to Pharaoh. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all the borders with frogs. You like frogs, guys? Have you cut the legs of the frogs and see all this? All right. Frogs. You saw big frogs, small frogs? All right. Okay. When I was young like you, brother, I had about 20 frogs. We were in a camp. I got about 20 frogs and put them in the bed of the gals without to sleep. Don't do that to your brother. All right. Terrible guy. The teachers in Sunday school had to watch for me. All right. Now, here's what God's going to do. He said, I'm going to put frogs. They're ugly when they're together. I'm going to put frogs all over the place. Only, look at verse 2 again. If thou refuse. You know what to refuse means? Somebody said, eat the soup. He said, no, thank you. That's to refuse. If you said, God said, you must be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you say, no, thank you, then you get the judgment. Cannot be more simple, no? Cannot be more simple. Now, listen. The rejection of God, of his words, will cause the judgment of God to fall upon you. Look in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 1. And look what the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and in verse 24 to 27. It's remarkable. Proverbs, right there after Psalms. It's easy to find Psalm in the Bible, and then after Psalms, you find Proverbs, all right? And in chapter 1, verse 24, look at what the Bible says. Because I have called, and ye refuse, and you say no, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel. Ye have disdain, ignore my counsel. You know, people sometimes ignore the counsel of God. And will none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamities, said God. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. This was written to a son who was elected to be king. And he said, you refuse to really listen to God, and God is going to laugh from heaven, and is going to laugh at your calamity. And Rehoboam really refused God, and Israel is what it is today because of that man who refused God. So God let the people know why he brings judgment. He brings judgment because you see God's will in your Bible, and you said, no, I don't care. Now, I have talked a lot of people with science mind, and they say, you know, Pastor Otero, this may be a great book and so on, but it's too old. It's not for us today. It has an all information. Know when the verbs are in future. It doesn't have all information. When you see a verb in future, it's an event to come. And if the event have not been fulfilled in the history of our nations, then it's an event a future. And you pay attention to what the Bible says. And people say, no, this is no good. What the United States does is that no Bible reading in the school. You see, why? Because Satan knows that if you read the Bible, you really get your head on. Either you say, I don't want it, or you say, I want it. This is the Word of God. God let the people know the cause. If you reject God, you are going head on with God. Now, guys, when your daddy said, clean the floor, I don't know what your daddy will say in home or your daddy, but my grandma will say, clean the patio. Now, if I clean the patio, I got 30 cents. But if I don't clean the patio, I got the red N. All right? And no 30 cents for 2 weeks. Wow. Now, why do I got the red end? I got the red end because I say no to grandma's will. She said, you clean the patio, we're going to have guests this afternoon. Oh, the missionaries again. I said, you know. And see, it's simple. If you say no to God, you're going to get God head on with him. Head on collision. Number 3, verse 5 and 6 in Exodus chapter 8. God let the people know his will. God let the people be aware that this is the cause. If something happened to them, nobody listened. Nobody wanted to do what God said. So God let the people suffer the judgment. God brings the judgment today. Now, notice the sequency. Verse 5. And the Lord spake unto Moses, and say unto Aaron, stretch forth thy hand with thy rod over the streams of the rivers and over the ponds, and cause the frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. In other words, God said to the preacher, now do what I said. And when a preacher does what God said, things happen. Look at them, verse 6. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and cover the land of Asia. Wow. Wow, what a lesson for me too as a pastor. The preacher obey and proclaim God's word just as God told them, and the frogs covered all the land, simple like that. When a preacher says what God says, and you reject it, doesn't matter. It's going to happen exactly as God said. Not as the preacher said, but if the preacher is faithful and telling you what God said, it's going to happen as God said. And I have to tell you what God said. Look in your Bible in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 7. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, almost at the end of your Bible. The Bible says that there is a day of judgment coming. As you look in 2 Peter, I refresh your memory that the Bible said in Hebrew, it is appointed unto men, mankind, once to die, which we all agree. We all have some people who are dead in our family. And thereafter the judgment. And look in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. By the same word, the present heaven and earth are reserved for fire. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, by the same word the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of what? Look at what the Bible says. Ungodly men. And that includes women. This ungodly mankind should be the right translation. So I aware you this morning, I have passed to you the word of God. It's not my opinion. It's not the opinion of Bethel Baptist Church. It is not the opinion of our confession of faith. It is no opinion of some theologian. It is the opinion of God. And God said clearly here that the day of judgment will come. And that judgment will be for ungodly men. Who are ungodly men? Men who have refused to take Jesus as their Savior. Is that simple? If you refuse to take Jesus as your Savior, regardless who you are, Pakistanian, Irish, Argentinian, or whatever. If you refuse to take Jesus as your Savior, now this verse, 2 Peter 3, 7, is one day is going to take place. One day you and I die, and then there will be a day of resurrection. And then that day of resurrection is not going to be roses. For some people, they will never see the judgment. They will go into the presence of God. But for those who refuse to believe what the Bible says, there will be a day of judgment. And the books will be opened, said the Bible. And the sea will give us the dead. That's something that boggles my mind. Six times I went into the ocean, and I dumped ashes from people, and I dumped it there, and then I pray. And God said, these people that you put, it's a very, 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 everything to that point is fantastic. But when you got this box in your hand, and you have to dump that in the ocean, to me, it's very emotional. I keep for a few days, you keep shaking. And then you know that those ashes one day was going to come apart and be standing before God. Even an individual do not have Jesus Christ in their heart now, they will be judged and condemned to hell. Now, when that happened, when the judgment came, look at what Pharaoh did. Verse 7 and verse 8. Watch the response of this fellow. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 8 and look in verse 7 and in verse 8 what Pharaoh did. You think that Pharaoh will kneel down right away when he hears the news that God is serious? You think that Pharaoh was all right, let the whole country worship the Lord like Darius did? No. Look at verse 7. And the magicians did so with their enchantment and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Pharaoh called the false teachers. Now, how do I know they are false teachers? Because these magicians do not stop the frog, they hire more frog. See, if they were true preachers, they would put the rod and the frogs will go. But they were not true preachers, so they put the rod and they added more frogs and more trouble. So here we have, first, the false teachers. The Bible talk about these two. Even the Bible give us the name of these two. If you go to 2 Timothy in your Bible, give you the name of those people who did the job. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, give you the name of those magicians that tried to imitate Moses. It's amazing. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8. Just as James and Jambres opposed Moses, that's the name of these two people, so also these men oppose the truth. He's talking about contemporary people to Timothy. Nino deprived mine. Somebody who opposed the truth of God has deprived mine, who, as far as the faith is concerned, they are rejected of God. What a strong words. So Pharaoh goes to the magicians and the false teacher, rather than solving the problem, they increase the problem. You know, if you reject the word of God and you go to somebody who doesn't know the word of God and say anything, rather than helping you, is going to increase your problem. I never forgot, like Pastor Van Dyke can say, the certain thing that happened in your life. I know 80, but I'm getting an age too. And I never forgot when in our home came a girl and said, I want you to marry me, Pastor, this week. Then I knew there was something on this mail. And I said, darling, are you pregnant? She said, no. But darling, who is the boy? Oh, it's a blue eyes, blonde fellow. He walks so nice and so on. Then he knows the Lord. Well, he goes to church. Where? In Los Angeles. Will you give me the phone number? His phone number? No, the pastor's phone number. So I called the pastor. Oh, I see him once a year, twice a year. So I knew there was something wrong with that boy. And I called the police. Oh, yeah, he has two or three things here. So I said, darling, come in. We have news for you. And she came happy. All right, Pastor, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to give you the good news. All right, tell me. This guy, he's not a believer. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't care for God's people. See, one of the demonstrations that you are a believer is you want to be with God's people. And then this guy has some business in the police, and I don't like the business he has. So you cannot marry him. The word of God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, what conquer has Belial with God? No marriage. She said to me, Pastor, if you don't marry me, the next pastor will do it. See, the magicians will do it. The magician did it. And 7 years later, Mama and Pastor had to drive to Los Angeles and pick up her from the street because it was abandoned. Now I tell you, don't play with God. People of God, don't play with God. People who have no God, don't play with God. God is very serious. And so the first intent of our life is to deny God. And we try to justify by going to this counselor and by going to the other counselor and by going to this other counselor. What you need to do, if you doubt something that I said, go to the Word of God. And the Word of God will clarify everything like pure water. Our brother in the back here, he sells filters for water. Have you got some of those? You talk to him. He's taller than your home. And you push the button, and the water is supposed to come clean and neat. Well, God's word is cleaner than our brother's filters. All right? You understand that? Now, in verse 8, then Pharaoh sees he's a smart man, and he sees that his preachers are no good. And look at what he says. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Jesus, please, pray to, look at the word Lord. If you have a King James Bible, the word Lord is in capital, which means the word Jehovah. That's the name of our God. Pray to Jehovah, please, pray, pray, he said, that he may take away the frogs. I cannot see them anymore. And if you do that, what a liar. He said, if you do that, I will let the people of God. And you know this story that Moses said, well, I don't want to pray today. I'm going to pray tomorrow. Now, God has no equal. No equal. God has no equal. He is the only one who can remove the frogs of unbelief from your heart. And I'm going to give you a counsel from something that I read in the internet from a professor of physics. I think it's fantastic. If you listen carefully, this will be the conclusion of the sermon. God has no equal. A while back, I was reading about an expert on the subject of time management. I like time management, to know what I do at this hour, the other hour, and how to produce more, and so on. One day, this expert was speaking to a group of business students, and to drive home a point, use an illustration those students will never forget. And listen carefully to the illustration, because it will illustrate that God has no equal. This man stood in front of the group of high power achievers. He said, "Okay, time for a quiz." Have you been in college when out of the blue, the professor will say, "Time for a quiz." Always raise my hand and say, "Is that right? Is that correct? The law approved, you'd surprise us with a quiz." Always I was a rebellious guy. Now, here's what the professor did. He pulled out a 1 gallon wide mouthed mason jar and set it on the table in front of him. And you imagine, children, imagine that, a big 1 gallon jar with a big mouth on the top. Then he produced about a dozen fist-sized rocks just like my fist. And carefully, he placed those rocks in the jar, and until the jar was filled with those rocks to the top, and no more can be put on. And then he asked the class, "Is this jar full?" Everyone said, "Yes." Then he said, "Really?" And then he reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of small gravel. And then he dumped some gravel in, and then he shook the jar, causing the pieces of gravel to work themselves down in the spaces between the big rocks. Then he asked the group one more, "Is the jar full?" By this time, the class was on to him, and somebody said, "Probably not." And then he said, "Good," he said. And he reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand. And he started dumping the sand, and it went down in the spaces left between the rocks and the gravel. And then once more he asked the question, "Is this jar full?" "No," the class shouted. Once again he said, "Good." Then he grabbed a pitcher of water, and he began to pour it in until the jar was filled to the brim. Then he looked up to the class and asked the question, "What is the illustration?" Now remember, this class was high achievers on time performance. And he asked them, "What's the illustration?" One eager beaver raised his hand and said, "The point is this. No matter how full your schedule is, you try really hard, and you can always fit something more thing to do." And he said, "No, sir, that's not the point," he said. "The truth this illustration teaches us is this. You don't put the big rocks first. If you don't put the big rocks first, you will never get them in at all." In other words, if you fill the jar with all the things that he put on and you try to put the big rocks after, you never get it. So let me ask you today, as I read that, I said, "Boy, that's an evangelical example." What are the big rocks in your life? A project you want to accomplish? Time with your loved ones? Your faith? Your education? Your finances? A cause? Remember these. Remember to put the big rocks first, or you never get them in. So you want a big rock to put on? Listen careful. Here is the big rock. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. Don't look at 1 Corinthians 10:4. and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ Jesus. See, if you fill your life, if you fill your life with all kinds of activities, with education, with work, with this and with the other, and then later on you want to put a big rock of God, doesn't fit in. So tonight, or maybe this morning, when you are reflecting on this short story, ask yourself this question: what are the big rocks in my life that I need to put on in the jar of my life? What rock do you put on first? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye what? The Lord Jesus. That's the rock you need to put on. See, that's why nothing fits in your life, because you want to put this rock in your life and the other rock in your life and the other rock of activities in your life, and you want to have the sport activities in your life, and then you want to have the work in your life and then the homework in your life, and nothing fits. And you say, when everything is going to fit? When you put the big rock on, Jesus. We are filled with churches without Jesus. And that's the rock that needs to be in your heart. And when that rock is in your heart, that rock moves and makes everything visible. You get married and God give you a wife to love. And then out of that love, God give you one child or 20 children. I don't know, whatever it is that God give you. And then you have, amazing enough, the jar is big enough to have all of them. My father were 17 children and their family. And the house and the money was big enough for them, because the rock that was down was Jesus. See, Pharaoh was a liar, depraved. And want to fool Moses. Nobody fools a preacher. He knows. He knows. But more than that, nobody fools God. Nobody fools God. And if you today, you say, Lord, no wonder I try to do so many things and never have time for everything. It's because you need to sit down and say, what is that rock, Jesus? Find it. And after you find it, what is the next rock? Are you married? I want to love my wife and my children as Christ loved the church. That's the second rock on it. And then the third rock, I'm going to be faithful to God's cause and to His church. I'll be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be present with God in the congregation of believers. I'll be in the church. God, the door is open. I'll be there to praise the name of God. And I'll tell you something, whether you agree or disagree with what we do, you'll be there. Because you are not here to agree or disagree. You are here to praise the name of God. But you need to have a rock on it. And I'm sick and tired of seeing people without a rock, and they try to do everything else without a rock. The rock is Jesus. He's going to give you a profession. He's going to give you a work. And you're going to get busy. And you know, I love to work hard and I love to do everything. But we have to be careful that the first rock we put into the jar is the rock of Christ Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His justice, and all the things of this world will be added unto you. The little gravel, the little sand, and the water will be added unto you. But you, my brother and my sister, be sure that you put those big rocks first. Because there will be no time to put it at the end. And you're going to be rejected. Thank you, Father, for the lesson today. There is no equal like God. That's why we need to put Him first in our life. We confess to you that we add to the jar of our life all kinds of junk and activities and things that we think they are good, but they're just little gravel. Oh, help us to put the rock of Jesus in our life. Help us to put the rock of Thy Word in our life. Help us to put the rock of faithfulness. Help us, oh God, to put the rock from Thy Word into our life, the virtues that come from Thy Word. And then when we are full of them, we can fill the jar with anything else. Oh God, thank you that Moses was faithful. And he told Pharaoh about the rock. But Pharaoh lied and died as an unbeliever. Father, I pray that no one of us will die as unbelievers. that we may think very seriously about this, that there is a rock that I need to put in my heart, whether I'm a Catholic or a Lutheran or whatever I am. Doesn't matter. I need to be sure that in the jar of my life, there is a rock called Jesus. There is a rock called the Word of God. There is a rock called the Spirit of the Living God. Thank you, Father, for the lesson today. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I want to sing with you, Immortal, Invisible. Number 34 in the hymn book, please. Number 34, Immortal, Invisible, the first stanza, and praises to God.
Upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.